Today is January the 2nd, 1987. My name is Steve Frangos. I'm going to end up in Manatee County, Florida. I'm going to go talk to George Altman today, a cow whip maker, and I'm on the way to that interview now. I'm supposed to meet him at 9 a.m. All right, we're all rolling here. Okay, now let me just repeat some things here just so I got it in my own mind. Now, in regards to the buckskin whip and talking about how to treat it and stuff, when you were coming up, you were hearing that a mixture of turpentine and beef tallow.
Right.
You'd come in, now let's say you're using it all day long, you know what I'm saying? And then you come in, you're off your horse and everything, mm-hmm. and you bring in your whip. Now, what would you do? Would you just take like a cloth or something and just run it up and down, or how would you do it?
Well, if it's wet, there's not much you can do with it, just hang it up, let it dry.
Mm-hmm.
And then oil it. Really, when you think about it, mm-hmm. the problem is when people think about it, don't do it. So just, I'd say probably once a month, just a light coat of oil would be all you have to do to it.
You mean just like regular 3-in-1 oil or motor oil, or just this beef?
Well, neat's foot oil is what neat's foot oil is what most.
Neat's foot?
Yeah. Or Lexol.
Lexol, I see.
I use mostly a combination of neat's foot oil and Lexol. Mm-hmm. Just about a half and half mixture. And a light coat of it. Now, to begin with, when it's brand new, you need to just put it in that oil. Just pour the whip up, put it in that oil.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it there for 15 minutes. You take it out and hang it up and let it just drip brain out and wipe the excess off. And the oil is a secret, but not a secret. That's what you need to do to keep it in good shape. And like we were talking before, the water is the main thing that hurts a buckskin whip. If you get one of them things wet, and really come around and pull down on it hard, more likely that tail is going to come out of it.
Hmm.
So if it's raining, best thing to do is just leave it pulled up on the saddle and don't mess with it. With the whips like I make, I put a fine tail, kind of a keen tail in anyway.
Hmm.
And it don't take a whole lot to jerk them out. And the whips that were made years ago, pretty heavy. They made them out of rawhide too, cowhide.
Hmm.
And they had a thicker tail in them and they lasted them longer. But the way I make them, they're just a keen whip. They're a good whip. But you can't just go crazy popping stuff. You
yeah.
know, you use the head without using it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll last. Last and last, but you have to take care of it.
Yeah, just like anything else.
Right. Well, a nylon whip, you can tie your dog with it and throw it out in the yard and leave it laying for a month. Go back and pick it up and knock the dirt off of it and go on with it. That's a lazy
whip. Yeah. Well, now, but you were saying, too, before we turned the machine on, that nylon doesn't handle.
No, I make nylon whips, too. And If you're good with a cow whip, you can pick that nylon whip up and use it and lay it down and pick a buckskin whip up, and you can feel a little, it'll lay out a little better. Not a great, anybody that didn't know couldn't tell it. But somebody that's used a whip and likes to use a whip can tell.
You were also saying that in the old days the whips were heavier
mm-hmm.
than they are now. Now, why was there a change? Was it
I think people just didn't want to take the time to put together a fine whip. I got a whip I can show you. Mm-hmm. And then I'll explain about it better. Back. This 16 clap. buckskin. Well, that just means there's 16 springs to start with. And most of the old whips, way a long time back, they would have leather probably that wide, or a little bit wider, lace leather, they call it. That would, where this is, I guess, about an eighth inch or less string, they would have a 3/8 inch string.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're real heavy. People talked about all you had to do was just lay it out there. Well, that's the weight's what makes the whip pop, you know. Mm-hmm. The ones I've seen were heavy, and it wasn't that they were put together that good. It was just the sheer weight of the whip. Because that's all you had to do, just fling it out there, and when it comes in, it would pop. But these are keener whips and lighter whips. And you can use them longer, don't get tired. And I like it.
Where did you learn how to make whips, George?
Well, here's where I just have to give the good Lord the credit for giving me mine to use. I've always, it amazed me, look at Capitol. I couldn't figure out how in the world that thing made.
Yeah.
And I kept fiddling around with it. I had an uncle that patched whips a little bit. And he made some of those old big lace leather whips. And I'd send him a whip, but it'd take forever to get it fixed. So I was fiddling around. I'd take it apart and try to figure it out. I couldn't. And I got a neighbor that lives over here a few miles, Dwayne Rawls. And his wife had a book that showed you how to four-plat, and it was on a bull whip. And a bull whip, you start at the little end and go to the handle.
Yeah.
And the leads, you go the other way. And I got that thing and looked at it and messed with it and read it. And finally it come to me how to make a four-plat. Well, that's the basic. That's where you start.
Mm-hmm.
Now, principle you use the 4-plat, you can use the 20-plat. It's the same principle, but you've got to learn to taper your strings and taper your belly. And I picked it up. They didn't get any old cowboy set me down and show me how to know. I just started messing with it myself. I made a heap of them that wasn't worth it. In fact, the first one I made, I threw it away. It turned out so bad. And then I made some more and give a bunch away. And finally got to where I could put one together good enough, I thought I could sell it and guarantee it too. So I started and still do them. Still people want them. There's a much greater demand for nylon whips than there are buckskin whips, but it's just a maintenance on them. Most of the older cowmen you see, they'll tote a buckskin whip, and you couldn't run fast enough to give them a nylon whip. These younger guys coming along now, they're nylon, they're in a hurry. They don't have time to fool with them and take care of them. Just jump in the back of the truck and take off. Let's get with a lot of care.
Well, what was, now just for the economics of it, if you, how much would what is the difference between, let's say, a nylon whip and then a buckskin whip? I mean, in cost. And
well, you can't figure your time. If you did, you'd be
broke. Yeah.
Broke.
Yeah, I understand.
You can sit down, or I can sit down and make a 12-plat nylon whip in 3 or 4 hours. Or a buckskin whip, I have spent as little as 2 days getting the hair off a hide, and as much as 3 weeks getting the hair off a single hide. And after you get the hair off, then you dry it, you I got to wash the can. I get too dry, and then I put it in my oil, and I've got a mixture I used. They call it oil tanning, and that can take from 4 days to a week and a half to get the hide down. And then it takes about 2 hours to cut the strings. And the way I put them together is I start in the middle of the core and twist up 4 strings. Actually, they're taken. And then I'll go 6 flat over that. And then I lay a solid piece of leather over that. Come back with an 8 flat over that, and another solid piece of leather, and then a 12 or 16 flat over that, and that takes most of the day. In fact, sometimes a little more than that if I'm slow about it.
Well, now, and remember that, you know, I'm new to cowlips here. Is the inside, that first setting, is that called the belly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then when you do the belly, that's plaited as this the outside is finally. Is that correct?
Right.
So then when you lay the when you say you lay the like a skin across, what do you mean exactly? Do you wrap it with the
well, on this like this whip here?
Yes, sir.
And then say this is the middle, but there'll only be 4 strings in there, and I'll twist them. Then I'll come with 6 strings over that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get a thinner piece of buckskin as I can find that I have on hand. And I'll wrap it. I'll cut it about that wide, go the whole length of the whip, and then I'll plait over that. So it does make it smoother, but it'll take most of the lumps out of it. That's what it does. Plus it adds weight to it.
This is an incredibly tight weave.
Mm-hmm.
And this whip is, how long is this whip now?
12 feet?
And so the last part here, is this called a cracker end?
Right.
No.
That's wax nylon string.
Yeah.
A lot of the old timers just use a strip of buckskin, but this holds up there.
Yeah, I heard that they use this kind of, sometimes they'll make the cracker end out of the nylon,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes they'll work on concrete floors or something.
Yeah.
And so then it'll just rip the hell out of
mm-hmm.
buckskin. Now, when you're saying that it, the younger guys aren't concerned with the upkeep on the buckskin whips. Does that mean that, you know, as they're using them, they've just got to maintain the whip in the sense of in case something comes out of it, or you mean just an oil in it, or?
Well, mostly just oil it. Keeping your eye on it. If you see it's tearing up, you need to put it up and get it fixed. The biggest problem is though just keeping it dry, keeping it over. If you can do that, you have a good whip.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, you don't have to do that in the nylon.
Mm-hmm.
It's depending on the size of the one.
What, now, saying that you were mentioning a man, Strickland,
mm-hmm.
in the Ranchers Association, and that you made like 3 whips or so for him.
Yeah.
Pretty time. What do you charge for a whip? George, I mean, how does it work?
I charge $6 a foot.
$6 a foot?
Nylon or buckskin, either one.
And does it, I mean, if there's more plating to it, you know, like if I say, well, look, George, I definitely want a 16, or I definitely, you know.
Yeah.
Is that?
From 16 down,
yeah.
That's $6 a foot. I made some 20 flat foots where, and there I charge $1 or $2 more a foot. That's according to who it is. If it's a working man, I don't charge him as much. If it's a man that's going to hang it on his fireplace, well, I charge him a little more.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So, but it's basically just $6 a foot for most of my whips. And if you're traveling around, you can look in the store and see they're from $9 to $11 a foot.
Yeah, the other thing I heard was that now they're instead of the wood handles, they're using these
aluminum.
The aluminum piping, yeah, yeah. Which I thought was really strange. I'd never seen that.
The thing you whip out of metal, to get a handle light enough to match your whip, it'd be so thin you just about crush it with your hand. I've seen several. There were some fella making some that really looked good. They felt good. They had a good grip on them. And to hold it, it don't feel heavy. But to tie it to your whip, it feels real heavy after you put your whip onto it. Mm-hmm. And I don't like them. I just don't like them tall. A man will take a whip, and if he's not careful, he'll be blaming the whip maker for his own fault for putting that handle on there.
Now, in relationship to the balance, as you were saying, or the, you know, in relationship to the actual, you know, buckskin whip part of it, does the handle have to be weighted in any way, or is there a certain length relationship to the handle?
Well, I found out another thing, you have to use a whip every day. On a 12-foot whip, I put a 15-inch handle. 10-foot whip, I'll put a 15-inch handle. And then on an 8-foot, I'll drop down to 13 or 12-inch handle. And the shorter whip, the shorter the handle. I used to for a 12-foot whip, I'd put a 16-inch handle. 10-foot, I'd go 15. 8-foot, I'd go 14, like that. But there's such a little difference there. I think I'm about the only one who can tell anyway. So in order to save time, I just make most of the 15-inch handles and use them on 10 and 12-foot whip. The thing you need to do is make your handle a little lighter than the whip itself. That'll make it work much better.
Yeah, I had heard that people sometimes will take the handle and bore, you know, the end of it and put weights in it, or even will, like, you know, plath, buck. What is all that about?
I think it gets them work on the horse's head more than anything else. I done it one time because I'd heard that, weighted handle, that's the only way to go. Well, I weighted my handle, a handle, and it was so out of whack you couldn't do nothing with it. And that's why I come to the conclusion that just for hard-headed dogs and horses.
Well, how many, now again, just because, I'm new to the area and it gets over perspective, and let's say in Manatee or, Hardy or DeSoto around there, how many of the cowmen still use these kind of whips, would you figure?
I would say 90% of them. Probably a little more, but I'll say 90%. Mm-hmm. Just say. Mm-hmm. I worked on almost everybody I know that I work with, and there's a bunch of them, they all take cowboy, except for maybe one or two. Mm-hmm.
Are you born around here, Jordan?
I was born and raised in Manatee County. I was born in the old Bradenton General Hospital and raised out around Mike City in that area. And after we got a little older, we moved, but it was always in Manatee or South Lake County.
How old are you, George?
40.
And how many people would you say, again, this is just, I'm guesstimating, this is no high science here. How many people would you say make cow whips still? Bull whip, yeah, cow whips.
Yeah. In Manatee County, there's a little old boy that worked on Rutland Ranch that was trying to. I don't know if he went on with it or not. And there's a fellow down the road here, Amlong.
Amlong?
Amlong is his last name, Mike Amlong. And he makes a few nylon. Now, nobody that I know of makes buckskin, but other than that, I don't know of anybody else. North Sarasota County. Maybe they are some, but I don't know. I've had people from all over, really quite a bit of the state call or come and get me to make them quit. I talked to a fellow in Okeechobee during the summer. He runs Eli's Western store over there. And he said there's several over there that make nylon whips, but no buckskin whips. If he needs buckskin whips, he calls over here and gets me to make them for him. But I don't know of anybody other than I told you about.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a heap of boys come by and wanted to, and I'll show anybody, tell anybody, I'll help them all I can.
Mm-hmm.
But it don't take long to lose interest in it. It's something that takes patience. And a lot of experience to get it
mm-hmm.
like you want it. You know, anybody can throw together quick. Make it work is I've run across a lot of whips that people have brought to me to repair, mostly nylon, that they're real big, and when you make them, you've got to tie them hard and fast to something. If you don't, they'll roll. So you can line your whip up and it won't be in a straight line, it'll get twisted, and it throws it off when you popping it. As far as being accurate, it'll throw it off that way a little bit.
No, I'm sorry. You can talk about it. Well, I know that old Uncle Henry Parrish, I guess he knows how to tie, or plait actually, bull whips. And I heard of a guy called McQuig.
In Australia,
Jeez,
there was a fella around here for a while that had a store up here, a Western store, and I think he made it. I've never seen him yet, but it's been several years back, too.
A man called Curly Geckley? Geckley. Something like that. G-K-L-E. Yeah. I don't know what part of the area they're from.
There is another man, too. He lives down on the Brayden River. I can't think of his name. He made some whips. I think he used to make the old kind and then got out of it and got back into it for a while. I seen one of his whips back out of Perry. And he used buckskin, but they chrome tanned it or acid tanned it.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out like something you'd make a jacket out of. We don't hold together. You can't tie it down.
And so then how do you tan yours again? Just repeat that for me.
Well, they call oil tanning.
Oil tan?
That's all it is, just a mixture of oil, mostly Lexol and cooking oil, any kind of cooking oil. You just have to let it soak, take it out, let it drip dry, and put it back in. It may take a week and a half sometimes to get it right, and that I had to show you because I can't look at the texture of the hide but tell
to
tell me
it's
to work. Yeah, I've got some tan hide out there I can show you.
Yeah, because I'm thinking on this simply because of the fact that it occurred to me that we're talking here and I'm trying to figure out everything at once. You're going a little fast maybe. But if let's say 90% of the cowboys that are still around, or the cowmen who are still around that do this kind of work, will use one form of whip or another, whether it's buckskin or cowhide, rawhide or nylon, this kind of thing, then there would seem to be more of a call for people who could keep them going with the whips.
Mm-hmm.
So you are actually the first person that I met that, of course, I'm not doing this day after day for months, but I'm just trying to say, who people will go to,
mm-hmm.
and can expect to say, well, look, George, can I have this within, a certain period of time, and then you can produce it and do that. Now, there are people who, like Uncle Henry, who can make a whip,
Yeah.
But he's not up, you know, I mean, he's an older man, he just, that does not interest him. I mean, you know, yeah, with someone in the family or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's that kind of need for this stuff, I mean, where'd the whips come from? You know what I'm trying to say?
Well, I know I've made a heap of
more than two trucks full.
Yeah. Now, before I started, people had whips, but to get them repaired, there were a couple of men in Wachula. No more children that repaired. But since I started, I think there's still one over there that messed my own with. But there was one that used to repair buckskin and rawhide with too. And from what I can understand, he don't do it anymore, just does it for special.
Mm-hmm.
For like this, like I do for people over here, he does for people over there. People that, he knows.
Yeah.
But I'll fix it for anybody. It don't matter.
Yeah, interesting. Do you remember the name of the man in Wachula by chance?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Are they older men, do you think?
Yeah. I know. I got one fella about 50 years old. A little older than that. So, but I never met him. Several people that bring twitch to me now used to take them over there. It could be because I'm close with him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I've seen some of his work and he got a good job. So I'm sure if he wanted to, he'd probably still be doing a good job. I imagine somebody's got to be taking care of the people over there.
Yeah.
This nylon stuff cuts down a whole lot on the pain. You don't do much repairing now on this. Every once in a while somebody, well, in 5 years, I've put tails in maybe half a dozen out on this. So that's almost maintenance free.
Yeah.
And during that same time, I don't know how many I put in this.
Now, of course, in all we've been talking about here, we've been focusing on whips, but I guess you do girths on
mm-hmm.
saddles, too?
Mm-hmm.
Now, since I went from a bicycle to an automobile, you know,
yeah.
I'm not too certain. I know that a girth is underneath the horse, and that's what holds on the saddle to the...
Right.
I mean, okay. Is there... and I guess you make that out of nylon? A nylon now? Because it's... Okay. Oh, now let me go back 1 minute before I get into that. When we say nylon... what do? You get like string from the store, or I mean, rope, or I mean, all I can think of is clothesline, but that's not what it is. It's
it's parachute cord.
Parachute cord?
Yeah, that's what we call it, and I guess that's what we use it for. I get mine from Zephyr Rope and Cordage and Zephyr Hills.
Yeah.
And it's just, I guess the man knows whoever manufactured parachutes and can go to that factory and get
mm-hmm.
parachute cord. That's all it is. It's, you can get it with a core in it, or you can get it flat with a core out of it. That's what we call cowboy and cherry.
And its name, and the place is Zephyr Rope and Cordage?
Mm-hmm. He makes all kinds of.
Yeah, I mean, just...
Inside the rope. Inside the rope, right on down to this parachute cord, which is probably the smallest he does.
Yeah.
And that's where I get my strength from, like knowledge.
Well, would it be, yeah, I mean, would it be, my next question was, well, because we got off this for a second, you were saying that when you did a nylon whip, it had a tendency to, like, coil, if you didn't attach on something.
Right.
So then how is a nylon whip differently constructed than a...
Well, not kind of a nylon, you got the weight kept. If you make a nylon whip without weighting it, it'll be too light. It won't work. Or you'll work yourself to death trying to make it work. And the way I put them together, I put two strings of birdshot in the middle of them for supporting how the length of the whip and how much birdshot.
Now, how do you do, I mean, what do you do? Like make a little pocket and then you just sort of like Yeah. Working her in?
Yeah, it's fine, actually.
And what size is this nylon now? When does it come that way? Quarter inch?
Mm-hmm. It's flat. Flat head is a quarter inch. When I start, I don't know how it'll be.
No, that's okay.
But you can just bunch this up. I've got a little old plastic tube. And I'll tape, push it down into here and tape it on and tie it off nicely. And just shove them BBs or pour them BBs in
right
that.
Down there.
And then you just inch them all down.
You know, what you just did was when you cut the nylon off, just pull like these strands right out of the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those strands, would that be the, when you were saying to me before that when you would get this thing from the Zephyr, mm-hmm. place, that you could get it with the...
Without,
I see that, I get it. So then if you were intending on making the whips and you wanted to put that weight in there, then you could get it without the core and not be messing with it.
Right.
Is it cheaper than doing you buy without the cord, or is it more expensive?
With the cord... It's more expensive than without.
I see.
It's a half cent a foot.
Yeah.
But this, the other is flat. I've got a roll one out here somewhere.
No, that's right.
But it looks like it just iron it and flatten it. I used to, before I knew that, I'd get the round spring and pull, I think it takes a while to pull that mess out of it. But pull it out and make it all that round spring. Now I, when you load your spring and the core is loose, that's the way I make mine now. I've heard of people flatten that sooner. But I've never had any complaints about how I get loose or not. If you take your string in the middle and your core, that's how you get your whip to taper. For a buckskin, you add or take away, you actually taper the string in some cases. But with a nylon, you taper your belly and plait it. And when I get to the end, you can't twist that flat string as tight as you can twist this. So I'll stop about 4 foot from the end with a flat string and then add this in. And that way you can twist that tail up and make it a little kinky.
So then when you say you weight the center part, just to repeat the obvious here, just to get it going here, is that then the belly of the nylon whip has all this buckshot in it, this whip.
Birdshot.
Birdshot.
Yeah, birdshot. That's what I use in mine.
That's really interesting.
You gotta have the weight. That's what makes a whip work. Same with a buckskin whip. You got to have the weight. And that's part of the reason I put those solid pieces of leather in the middle. It's just for weight. That's all it's for. But, well, if you can find one of those old whips and one of these here, you can really know what I'm talking about. You really understand. Well, you got to know how to pop a whip like that. You can get one of those old whips and just whiz it out and get a bang anyway.
Now I almost got to talk to you about the girths on sandals.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other things besides like the cow whips or girths on saddles that you're called on to do?
Breast collar.
What are breast collars?
It's a good around the front of your horse to keep the saddle from sliding back when you're ready to pull it. You know, use your horse to pull with. Mm-hmm. It just keeps the saddle sliding off the rear end.
I was sort of wondering how they
had me. I hadn't made very many. I made happened to me, but they're back something that I don't really know how to make to keep from rubbing holes. And I've made one for myself, but it's only 2 inches wide, but that's strong. That's nylon strong. I've made one for another fella. It's about 4 inches wide. And he said it's working all right. I made one for myself that was about 4 inches wide and it rubbed the board. So I'm gonna quit using it. Most people buy those factory breath collars that are solid nylon. It's not strings, it's padded, solid, built to the shape of the horse. They won't rub it, it lasts a long time too. So they're not very much powerful nylon string type.
And how did you again learn how to make either the girths or the belly collars, as you're saying, or the breast?
Just looked, seen another one, and went from there. Fellow that runs Circus Feed Store and down in, almost in Sarasota County, Lester Needham, he gave me some pointers on how to make a belly girth. There's a fellow over here on Old Panther Road named Jack Groomer, and he can make a real good looking belly girth. I never used one, but it looked better than the one I had. If I choose between the two, I'd pick his. But I've just seen one that somebody had made, and sit down and put one together. And then I added a little more here and there to make it a little wider. Like I say, you don't make any of them because they last a long time.
That's right, 100%.
You make one, it doesn't last you. The one I've got on my saddle is probably 5 years old. Maybe more. Mm-hmm. I don't worry about it breaking any time soon. That's where belly girth goes. Not one you make, it lasts a long time.
Is there anybody in the area who makes sales?
That's for me. Circus Feed Store.
Is that right?
He can make them. He don't make very many. He repairs more than he makes. I've got a cousin in Arcadia, Cecil Alford. He used to make them, but he couldn't make them any of it, so he could. He can make this guy.
In Arcadia?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, could you tell me how to get a hold of your cousin?
That is a number. He's
okay.
Still there.
All right.
I'm not sure if you're...
No problem. His name's Lester?
Cecil.
I'm sorry?
Cecil Alford.
In Arcadia.
Mm-hmm. He used to cow hunt all the time, and here a couple of years ago, he got one of his eyes put out, so he's not doing that anymore.
Okay, I have two requests.
Okay.
One is to use your bathroom.
All right.
And two is to go in the back and look at some of that.
Okay, do it.
Let me just.
You can see that. Didn't take them out here and work them across this state now.
All
right. You'll see what they
color up.
About what color it'll be.
I see.
And it'll be soft. I'll show you a couple more in a minute that somebody else tanned that I don't like the way they tan. So, but it's good. He wanted me to make a whip for him and use his hide. So, he's one of my uncles. So can't hardly argue with him. But that's about what it turned out.
So now what we got here, people listening to this tape, or me listening to the future, there's a 2x6 or so, nailed up against a tree, and the one edge has sort of like been, worked down, so it's sort of got like on an edge on it.
Yeah.
We're just taking the cowhide And I mean, the deer hide, God, I never get any of these animals right. I'll tell you, I'm such a greenhorn here. And just work it back and forth over the edge of it to get it to a certain consistency.
Yeah. That's, you cut this off naturally, this ragged edge. And then you start, when you make your string, you just start cutting round and round and round and round. And,
well, you don't cut just a straight strip?
Mm-hmm. No, you make it all, I make it all one piece.
Oh,
well, on a 12-foot, 16-flat whip, you'll need, to start with, you'll need a string 5 foot, you go 5 foot, 10 foot, 15, 20, 25, and 27, and 2 30-foot strings. And then when you're plaiting and putting together, you drop the string every 9 inches. That helps when you taper all that does. That's the way that goes together. I'll show you these other hides. That's standard black ball and hickory. And that these out here with the hand with hog lard, hog fat, hog grease.
Sure nice out here.
Yeah, yeah. See the difference?
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Now this comes pretty close to what I would do. But this here is...
Yeah, what happens here, again for the tape, the one that's not so good looks sort of looks like it's green.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is definitely a white or a tan color. And this other one, the greenish one, it just doesn't, you can see it. I mean, you know, I can't tell you the thing that's, looks like it's got little fractures in it and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just not the same item at all.
That's the difference between the way I tan them and another fellow.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's strong. I would imagine I could cut a string out of either one of these and out of either this or my hide, and you probably couldn't break it just
either way.
Their hands.
Yeah, well, I heard that if you took a quarter inch strip and put your foot on it and then hold, you know, full strength, that if you snapped, it wouldn't be what you'd be needing. That it's got to sort of like take that kind of,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
effort. I mean, if it can handle that, if a man pull on it,
yeah.
then it should be good quality for the.
Mm-hmm. I haven't done that. I've tried to break it.
With your hand. Yeah, see my hands.
And I've had stronger men than me try it and couldn't do it. But that's the way you test it. If you can break a buckskin string that's 3/8 of an inch, 1/4 to 3/8,
mm-hmm.
you better go back and get you some more leather and mm-hmm. not use that piece.
And this hide now, I'm not, you know, familiar with this very stuff. Is it from, I mean, is it just like, is it the back of the animal, is it the chest, is it any
it's
old
the whole, it's the whole
thing, all the way around?
Right, that's the whole hide. When you get the hair off, it'll be, this is about 2/3.
The material you need?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, that's what I'm saying.
In other words, if you got a piece of hide, big door to start. You
yeah.
get the hair off. And then when you get it tanned, it'd be like this.
Yeah, I see. So you're losing. That's
a
right.
third of it.
That's okay. Well, how many, as again, just using the door here as an example.
Let's go get in the sunshine.
Yeah, okay. Florida is not as warm as we think up north. So how many pieces would you be needing then for a regular, let's say a 12-foot whip like you had in the house?
It'd take the better part of two hides.
Two hides.
Yeah.
Can I take a picture of that whip?
Yeah.
We're trying to think and remember everything and answer your questions here, George. Thank you for spending this time with me. I'm just...
You're welcome. I enjoy talking to people about it. I enjoy teaching people, too, if they want to learn.
Well, do you know anybody else in the area who, like, tans, you know, these sort of hides besides yourself?
Well, I don't know of anybody that tans hides. The old fellow that helped me most of all lived in Okeechobee, and he's dead now.
Who was that?
Mr. Nettles. His name is Nettles.
Can you get your spurs or that one?
Well, you want to take this outside?
Yeah, I think that I'm going to grab my gear here. And... Well, and I know that when I answer these things, it's not, you know...
That's a problem with break because it's real thin right here.
Yeah. We just broke a piece of cow hide here to deer hide, actually.
But if you double that, which would be what it is, that would be the smallest part of the wheel. I can't break it.
Yeah. No, that's what they were saying. And it, again, it's a consistency thing, and then,
yeah,
you know... How many of these things do you think, and these are just guesses, you know, I'm asking you questions here that aren't always fair because it's not the way to look at it, you know. But how many of these bullets would you say, cow whips would you say that you make in any given year as a guess? And let's move out into the sun.
I would say... Close to 50 nylon whip. Mm-hmm. Not more than 10 bucks.
No one's worse than that. And what would you think is just, again, these are all guesstimates, you know, I'm not with the internal revenue, I don't really care,
yeah.
You know, on one level, but I'm just trying to get an idea, ballpark figure on it.
Yeah.
Is how many would you say that you're called on to repair?
I would say between 50 and 70. Ballpark,
yeah, we're not going any kind of.
Well, when I first started, I could probably say easily 100 a year making nylon, and probably 20 a year buckskin. But now everybody in this part of the country's got them, so it's most of the whips I make now are going out of the county, and repair is. Like I said, when I first started, it was mostly buckskin, and I repaired probably 100 a year. And either I'm doing something right, or they ain't bringing them back. there's not that many to do.
And again, just as I'm going always for ballparks on this, I'm coming up to you now, and I got like a rawhide whip, and I say, look here, George, I need this fixed. You know, take your time, whatever, you know. And get it back when you can. What would you charge me to fix it? Now, I know it would be contingent on what was wrong with the whip. I mean, if it would, like I cut it in half, or if I, you know,
yeah.
did something terrible, if it was just a little thing that I couldn't figure out
yeah.
how to do. But just as a ballpark kind of thing, what would you...
To repair it for
repair
a price. There again, if you were a working man and...
Yeah, just a regular fellow, just...
You hadn't tore it up. If you hadn't tore it up past the 6 flat, $10.
And if it was nylon?
Nylon, it'd still be.
So the same thing.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm asking this is, again, is like they were telling me about what kind of saddles the cowmen around here used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after the war, a lot of them had World War II. They were still using a lot of those Civil War saddles.
Yeah.
And that was because you just couldn't spend the money to go out and buy yourself a saddle in those
right.
days when you're working for,
yeah.
you know, just dollars a day, and then the saddles were $200, $300.
Mm-hmm.
Just impossible. So I'm asking that not to say, how much are you making, George? But just to figure out what, in a ballpark kind of way, what does it take for a working man to, you know, a person who's actually doing the job. A working man, it could be the foreman, it could be the owner of the ranch, it could be just a hire, a
yeah.
dayhand. But just to get some kind of idea about what's going on. You know, so.
To how much money it takes him to do what?
Well, just in other words, okay, I'm not saying this right. I wanted to figure out what the costs on whips were, basically, ballpark, you know, from
yeah.
between rawhide and nylon. To be able to figure out what does it take for a working guy, a regular cowman, you know, to get by on the thing. I mean, you know, I mean, is it just,
yeah.
why are they using the nylon? Is it because it's cheaper or what? You know, I mean,
well,
I come in with basic questions, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
And obviously the use thing is the feature of it, but
you know. If you were right this day, go to get in the cow business or cow working business, if you want to start with a horse and go from there,
whatever the guy has to use,
okay.
yeah, you know.
If you had to get in the business.
From scratch.
Start with, you need a truck and a trailer. And that's 15,000 and that's a low figure.
Interesting.
A good cow horse nowadays is nothing to pay between 1,500 and 2,000 for a good horse. A good saddle. In fact, last week I heard a man price one for $1,200.
Jesus.
And for a top grade cow horse, I let you have for $70. So that's, and your ropes, $20 to $30 for a good 35 foot area. That's just a down payment.
Yeah. Really.
You got your dog, you got to feed, your horse you got to feed, saddles to maintain, trucks and trailers, tires, you know, it's for a single man living at home, it's a good life. For a married man
with kids,
and a kid, you need to find a ranch that'll give you a place to stay, as far as you need, gas. And if you don't want to live real fancy, it's a good life, a good living. But to just be a cowboy to go from one ranch to another, it's mighty expensive, really expensive. You've got to be good. Got to work every day, and there are several men in this county that do it. They're good help. They can. They're good in the woods. They know how to rope. They know how to drive cattle. They know how to get around in the woods, trail cattle. And when you get in the pens, they're still just as good. They can work in the back, moving cows around, or you can put them on a head catch, and they know how to mark, brand. What kind of medicine they use. There's a lot of it goes on. You don't see them bragging about it, carrying on about it. But there's it's every day, every day. They're cow men. Now these radio cowboys are dime a dozen. And they like the show and the brag and the crowd. Well, these guys I'm talking about is, you don't see them much. They're in the woods most of the time working.
Yeah. Well, now, what about, and I'm thinking about this from, you know, I work in the shops and stuff for carpentry. You get a man, and you get like a, now a man will know the job through and through, all the way through. He's done it a million times, and it's like boring almost in certain parts of it. It's just he's got to do it, but he don't really want to, you know.
Yeah.
When you get like a 22-year-old kid, we're talking shops now. Of course, you're raised on a farm, and you've been working your whole life or on a ranch or something. That's a different story. But basically, that kid doesn't have it together to know, you know. But when a man's about 40 or 50 or even about 60, because they're still out there working around 60, at 60, they don't have the strength anymore, you know, and they really don't have the all-day kind of energy to go and do it. What's the situation over here? I mean, can you, is it like about 50? Is that a cutting point? Or I mean, Henry Parrish was in there, and he's 80-some years old. He was marking and gelding, and he was doing everything. But he wasn't flipping them over, you know. So what's the, is there kind of like an age thing in there somewhere? Or?
Well, there is. What you hope for is when you get that old, you can be in a position like Henry to where you don't have to do all that physical labor. You hope there's younger men around to take up that slack. But still, as far as riding and being in the woods, you've got that experience there that counts. There's several men around here I know that's 60 or maybe a little older. Some of them still ride and some of them don't. They got foreman jobs. Now, I guess probably when you're 50, you can still build fence, patch fence and cow pen, drive a tractor. You can still do all that work. But when it comes to, you can pen cows, even rope cows. When it comes to inside the pen, cutting calves, now that you better back up when you're on the man stuff. A little tough. He gets it.
Well, I was helping Richard flip over those 350-pound calves.
Uh-huh.
I'm for the purposes of this tape, I'm 35, and I was feeling it about cow number 56 there or somewhere in there. I was feeling it.
Yeah. Maybe get you.
But you got to be used to the work. I mean, it's like
anything
else.
Well, I tell you, after you do it, where it was probably taking you a lot more energy than it was
somebody really knew what to do. You use your weight and their weight too. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying too.
You can't manhandle them. You got to wait till they make a move or jump or something, or you can get that weight
going down.
Yeah.
Well, let me take a couple pictures here of the whip and you. That is the other thing I never thought I'd do when I go to school, is take pictures.
How should I hold this?
However you would normally be holding it. All right. I'm just going to take a few because I'm not a good photographer. Has anyone else ever come out to talk to you about this kind of stuff, George?
Not from the newspaper or anything.
Any sort of research or anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
Am I your first, George?
You first.
All right, let me just take one more. I don't want to be bothering you anymore. I know you got work for you. I'm preserving this for history here, George.
Okay. I told you all I can think of.
Appreciate it. I've been very open, very generous with that. I want to leave you with that sheet of paper that explains everything so you know what's going on.
Okay.
Let me just go put my name on it.
All right.
And I'll put the name of the person, she hates when I do this, who's the, that's my office, you know what I'm trying to say, and
yeah.
I'll be driving around all the place, so if anything ever comes up or anything ever happens, you know, you'll never get me, you know, I'm not in White Springs.
Yeah.
But the woman that's up there is Mary Bland, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put her name on that paper too, so in case something comes up or you want to know something, you know, that's who you'll talk to in the office, because that's who I talk to.
Okay.
So it's like that. Let me just write all this down here.